Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's fucking delightful.
Hello and welcome to the Roker Report podcast in association with Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. My name's Rich Spate and I'm joined down the line from Dublin by Michael Dunn. How are you this afternoon, Mike?
Rich, it's a bloody good Friday now. I feel like breaking all Catholic traditions now and having a beer. I'll just go to confession tomorrow after that.
Oh, it's certainly worth it. I'm sure he'd forgive you. And yeah. And we're also joined from the northeast by Ant Waterson. How are you, mate?
Yeah, mate, really good. I mean, that 3 points has made me feel a little bit better, you know, personally. I've had my second vaccine yesterday and I really don't feel very well. But watching that has cheered us up no end, so we'll go on.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think a few people are struggling after the vaccine, but hopefully it'll be worth it in the long run for everyone. And great result today, as you said, 3-1 to Sunderland against Oxford United at home. I mean, overall, I don't think anyone can complain with the scoreline, but God, it was hairy for a while there, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, especially the first half. I mean, we started brightly, but I think Oxford got on top there. They had a really high kind of aggressive press and they were in our faces and we were kind of struggling to string passes together coming out from the back, especially. I think I said in the WhatsApp group, I think Shadipo, the winger there, was excellent for them today. He really threatened from the start. But I think the game kind of changed in that red card in the second half for Sykes. We definitely came into it then. We showed more urgency and the likes of Jones especially was outstanding second half along with Gooch. And we well deserved the win in the end.
Yeah, I thought we definitely deserved winners, but I was nervous in the first half given their goal on 20 minutes was really well taken, wasn't it? I mean, they broke away and swept the ball out to the right and the lads, Henry, got that great strike in on goal. Were you expecting it to be a tough afternoon after that, Ant?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean the goal itself, I think it was Max Power let their midfielder get away. You just take the yellow card there, you know what I mean? I was a little bit disappointed with Power for that, but it's a nice finish, it was a nice goal. And to be honest, on the basis of the game, Oxford did deserve that. It was coming. You know, we were a little bit sloppy, a little bit slow. I'm not sure Linda Gooch in the 10 was working, to be honest. So I was kind of, you know, up until and including the goal, thinking, why is O'Brien and Winchester not playing in this game? But, you know, they took it well. And they, as Mike just said there, they were very, very good with the press. You know, the wingers caused us all sorts of problems. So on basis of it, they probably deserved to be 1-0 up. And we did well to fight back and, you know, take all three at the end.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a decent fight back by Sunderland in that first half. We came into it more, I think, probably from like about 35, 40 minutes. We started to get back into the game and then it was a touch of genius from Jordan Jones on the right wing, brought down a lovely diag from Luke 09, skinned his man, nutmegged the defender in the middle and picked out Gooch, who prodded home just before half-time. And I have to say, I think if we hadn't gone in at 1-1, I think we would have been a bit more of a struggle in the second half. But as you mentioned, Mike, the second half we did come on a lot stronger, and then there was that kind of pivotal moment, wasn't there, of the red card. The game was really loose at that point. It seemed to be going from end to end. Did you think he was a bit unfortunate to get that second yellow?
I think who was fortunate was Luke 09 with the bad touch. I was like, shit, he's giving this away right in the box. I was expecting someone to come in and just shoot and score, but no, it was definitely a red card. I like, from what I can gather, it was two-footed, like it was fairly high as well. I think it was definitely a red card. And I don't know what Carl Robinson was going on one then after that as well. He got sent off too. So I don't know if he was aggrieved about that or something else, but there seemed to be a few things that he wasn't happy about. But on the red card, no, it was certainly a red card. And I think on that moment, the game changed. We seemed to get more urgency. And we got our kind of big players into the game, the likes of McGeady as well. And we started creating a lot of chances, but that was definitely a red card.
Yeah, it was a straight red for me. It was his second yellow because he got booted in the first half, but I thought it was a straight red. I thought it was a really, really bad tackle.
Dangerous.
It was a poor touch by Lugo 9, and obviously in the box, if he doesn't go in for that, the player, if he doesn't go in for that, he's going to get critters off his manager for not, you know, for maybe backing out the tackles, but you can't do that now. You know, you can't do that. Yeah. If you miss the ball there and you catch the player, you're asking for trouble there. For me, I thought it was a straight red. That was a really bad tackle. But luckily enough, Luke's not injured and got away with a bit of a slack touch. Mm. So we'll tap that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, my initial reaction was that he'd gone in two-footed and it could have been a straight red. When I say a bit unfortunate, it was because of that. The poor touch from 09, he was kind of... He had to lunge in for the ball 3 yards out. You know, if he'd made connection with the ball and not the man, he might have prodded it in the same way, I guess, as Gooch did in the first half. But we came on a lot stronger than that, as you say. They made a triple substitution, but before that, we were really coming on strong. And then after loads of pressure from Sunderland, we got ourselves ahead on 81 minutes. Great play from Lyndon Gooch, actually, to set up that second goal from Aidan McGeady when he cut it back. Super bit of play, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, and you know what, Gooch had a really poor first half, but he was outstanding second half when we took McLaughlin off and put Gooch into the kind of full-back role, wing-back role. And he was just getting so much joy down that wing, and he was doing what he's good at. And I think what all Sunderland fans get frustrated with is that is what he's really good at. We just want to see it more and more from him. We just don't see it enough. But he was really good second half. And a little mazy run into the box, cut it back for McGeady, and a typical McGeady finish, slotted it into the corner. It was a really good finish, yeah. And I think from then on, I kind of felt comfortable because we were just attack after attack. We were getting on top of them. Up until the last couple of moments there, it was a bit hairy at the end just before we got the third goal.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't feel comfortable even when we were 2-1 up and they had 10 men. I was as nervous as I've been all season. Those last 10 minutes seemed to go by so slowly. But in the end, there was a 2-minute period, wasn't there, Ant, where, you know, the game, the result, was won, and I think Luke 09 played a key part in that, don't you think?
Yeah, it was absolutely superb from Luke 09. You know, defensively, I mean, it was a great ball in by it was one of their subs who come on. He looked absolutely dynamite, didn't he, from Oxford? Yeah. And he put it was a beautiful ball, and I was just expecting the net to bulge, and then, you know, up flies Luke 09 like, you know, Superman, heads it behind for a corner, and then obviously from that we go on and score the third. I mean, it's just that clearance means so as much as Max Power's goal, doesn't it? You know, it was superb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's come under a little bit of criticism, Luke 09, for playing, you know, at centre-half, being at fault for a couple of goals. I thought the Lincoln game, you know, I thought he was at fault for that. But today, it just shows there what he's willing to put on the line for the team there. You know what I mean? Because that was just superb. The last-ditch defending, and absolutely magnificent. And who'd you expect it from more than Luke 09? Or, you know, he was the one player you expect to do that. He did, and he was absolutely superb.
Yeah. A little bit of a note on the formation today, lads, and the lineup. I mean, the formation, it was 4-4-2. I think there was a few different permutations possible when the team sheet was announced. The big thing I think was touched on earlier was Lyndon Gooch in that 10 position. It didn't seem to work. I don't know who wants to come in on this, didn't seem to work.
I don't think Gooch is a 10, really. I don't think it suits him, really, for his kind of game. As I was just saying earlier on, I think when he's going at defenders, like fullbacks, that's where he's good at. We needed someone in there who can link the play, someone like O'Brien, even maybe Chris Maguire. I actually thought he was going to start today after his performances through the week for the reserves. So, it didn't work. And I also, just on another note I pointed down was, in the first half especially, I thought we kind of isolated McFadden there in the wing. Shadipo was absolutely killing him. McGeady was giving him no support. And I thought Johnson might have changed that as the game went on. And he didn't do anything really about it, I thought, which was kind of surprising. But the formation, it kind of worked. He kind of evened itself out with some of the changes he made as well, the subs for Johnson, which probably, you know, balances it out.
Yeah, I mean, he was fluid, wasn't he? He brought Stewart on, who looked much better in that position. Like, you could link up a bit better. And actually, Gooch, as you say, marauding down the right in the end was the thing that won us the game. And I think it's certainly a game of two halves. I think in the first half, we must have only had a couple of shots on their goal. But by the end of the game, we'd had 13 shots on goal and 6 on target, and were probably deserved winners of the match. Let's have a look at some of the three-word reviews we've got on our Twitter. Lots of celebration going on, which is really nice to see. Jonathan is there saying, and I think this reflects how I felt right at the end of the game, which is absolutely fucking glorious. Maybe not as a performance, but as a result. As a result, and we will come on to the other results as well, but as a result, that was so necessary. James Tweedle echoes that, absolutely fucking buzzing. Phil SEFC says, sign Jones and Sanderson. I'm not sure we're going to get either of them.
That's
but
four
you
words,
know.
That, Phil.
That's
come
four
on.
Words.
It is. Well, it was a symbol. It was an and sign. And then we've got Jason Beatty, fucking tunes on. Absolutely. Next stop, Peterborough, says JC95, grinding out results. Says Colin Armour, massive comeback victory. Says Mark Koopmans, Jordan Pardykes, Jordan Jones goated. Let's skip down a little bit further down. Evan Lloyd says Sunderland winning machine. We've got Spencer Davidson, Daddy Jordan Jones. We've got Jean Gill, beat Portsmouth promotion. It does bring us on to the other results. I think before we go into the player ratings, it's probably best to note that late goals from Peterborough and Hull won them both their games. We are on 70 points after 37 games. Peterborough on 72 after 38 games, and Hull on 73 after 39. So we're still in our own hands. Obviously, we've still got to play both of them. But has that given you a little bit even more confidence, Ant, that we're gonna be able to keep this winning run going? Because the form is amazing.
There was a good point brought up then in the three-word review. Winning, like, we won from behind, which, you know, we've really struggled to do it, even, you know, in any League One game, you know, under three managers. And it was good to see that to deal with. Obviously, you know, I mean, I think we can all agree Oxford were probably the better team in the first half. But then when we've scored, completely the right time to score, it's always the best time just before half time. And we've gone in the second half, and even before the red card, I thought we were looking the better side. And that's a huge 3 points again. You know, yeah, we look at, you know, Hull and Peterborough have got last-minute goals. But listen, this is going to happen. You know, Hull and Peterborough are good sides, you know, and we just need to focus on our results. If we keep this form up, we're going to go up. You know, the games in hand are crucial for us. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be aggrieved going to Peterborough now and not losing. You know, if we get a draw, I think that's a fantastic result. You know, yeah, we all want to win. You know, obviously, I mean, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a fantastic game. You know, we're on about being nervous now, intense now. What's Monday going to be in front of the cameras? We're going to be on edge, aren't we? So, I mean, it's a huge game. But no, I mean, if we keep this up, you know, and we've got a really hard run, and we've had a few hard games, and we've come out really, we've done really well. And if we keep this up, you know, this is going to be promotion. I'm in the camp as well. Nick Barnes was in on Thursday on the preview pod. I just think we're going up now. You know, I'm really, really confident. Maybe too confident, but, you know, it's the best feeling I've had in a long, long time about this club. So, you know, let's keep it up, really.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the form and the potential ramifications of all three results today? Obviously, everyone is in the same position they were before kickoff, Mike. But do you think that coming from behind is the is you know the really crucial thing about this result in the long term.
Yeah, and I mean, it was Andy mentions Nick Barnes here today, and it was something he said as well. We're doing things that we weren't doing under previous managers, mm-hmm. beating Joey Barton. You just said today, coming from behind, kind of hoodoos that we had before are not part of this team. This team don't care about that. This is a new Sunderland team. We're playing with a confidence I haven't seen in years, as Anne said. It's great to see. I really haven't worried about any other teams at the moment, to be honest. I just think we're on such a good run of form. I think any game we go out, even Monday, I'm not really worried about Peterborough. I think if we play our game, we have a very strong chance that we can win the match. So, I mean, yeah, I'm the same boat. I can't believe I'm saying this. We're going to go up this year and we'll sing it. Let's go.
I mean, that's the first time we've beat Oxford at home as well. Yeah. When they go on. So it's just these hoodoos are going out the window, you know, week by week by week, aren't they? You know, we've won at Wembley, you know, we beat Joey Barton, we beat Fleetwood, beat Burton for the first time in League One.
It just seems written in the stars, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like the copybook's going out the window every week with us. And it can only, like I say, it can only. And we've got players to come back. We've got Denver Hume and Bailey Wright to come back, who I'm sure will improve the side. So we're in a very, very good position. It's now important to, you know, kick on now and finish the job, really.
Absolutely. I mean, I think resilience and steel and that kind of belief was evident today.
Yeah.
At no point did we look like we weren't going to go on and win the game, ultimately. I mean, there was maybe a period in the first half where they were a bit on top, but you're going to get that. They're no mugs, Oxford, were they? They're
actually
a decent side and some decent, talented players in there. But we coped. So let's go into the player ratings then. I'll be all traditional and I'll take Lee Burge. Not very much to say about Lee Burge today. He had a couple of touches of the ball, smothered a couple of loose balls in the box. I think there was one just after half time where it came from a corner and they didn't get a good connection on it, but he secured the ball really nicely and he was alert because he'd hardly touched the ball before that. But, you know, when a player doesn't have that much to do, it's the standard six, it's the starting six, because he really wasn't involved in the game at all. So six for Burge. I'll come to you, Mike, for Conor McLaughlin. He was on until 66, but don't know, what did you have to say about him?
Yeah, I always seem to get Conor McLaughlin. I always seem to say the same thing when I get him. Steady Eddie.
It's the Irish link, Mike, isn't it?
Yeah, he linked up well with Jones at times. I think he got a yellow card in the first half for a tackle on Hansen, which wasn't great. But other than that, steady again, some nice crosses in. I just have down, he never seems to play badly. I think he's reliable. Another standard six. You're never going to get a bad game from him. He does his job well. So another decent performance from him today.
Yep, I can't disagree with that. So, and you've got Cal McFadzean.
I've gone for a six for McFadzean. I thought, you know, I agree with what Mike said about Shadipo in the first half. I thought he had him on toast, really, but I'm not overly sure it's all McFadzean's fault, because he needed help and McGeady didn't give him that help. In the second half, I actually thought he defended excellently. When we were under pressure, he was really, really good. And what has been missed, I think, was just before the Luke 09 header, McFadzean made a superb sliding tackle on the edge of the box to stop them from breaking through. And that was really, really good. And I just think every week now, he is sort of looking more comfortable. And we're not saying these things about him, what we were saying, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, where he did stick out like a sore thumb, you know. So I've given him a solid six. I nearly give him a seven, but just for the first half performance, he probably doesn't deserve that much. But yeah, I thought he was, you know, again improved. So, and it'll give Lee Johnson a headache whether to bring Hume back in. And he doesn't need to rush Hume back in, which I think is good now with Sanderson showing, McFadzean showing a little bit more form, which is good.
I can't disagree. Yeah, it's a six, 6.5 from me.
Yeah.
I thought he grew into the game as well.
He did.
And ultimately, the lad Shadipo got taken off towards the end of the game, you know, and he hadn't in the end managed to beat him that often. So I'll take Luke 09. I had him as a six at half time. I thought he was a bit shaky in the first half. He grew into the game. I'd not bumped him up to a seven, and then he got an extra mark at the end of the game for basically securing us the points with that header at the back post on 91. So I've given him an eight, just because, you know, it's vital moments like that that are really important in a season. So I'm going to give you Deion Sanderson, Mike.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of a mixed bag from Sanderson today. I thought he looked shaky at times, especially in the second half, but he did have some decent clearances. Distribution was kind of 50-50, another mixed bag, but Taylor and Shadipo, especially in the first half, as we've mentioned a couple of times, were a serious handful for the two centre-halves, and they were putting them under a lot of pressure, and that's kind of where the poor distribution came from, just from the pressure that Oxford are putting us under. But I think, again, he got better as the game went on, like O'Neill and McFadzie, and I think everyone got more comfortable in the defence as the game went on. Maybe Oxford tired a little bit, I'm not sure. But obviously when they went down to 10 men, he was more comfortable on the ball, he was coming out of defence with it. And overall, it was a solid performance. I it was okay, a 6, maybe 6.5.
I think that might be a little bit harsh. Though, on okay. The ball, he was great. But there you go. I mean, let's if you have a quick look at Matty's done the ratings on the website, and he's gone for a 7. So you know, there's that spread of 2 marks between me, Matty, and yourself on Deion Sanderson. But it's a game of opinions. So what was your opinion on Max Power then, Ant? The goal-scoring sensation at the end of the game?
Again, probably a game of 2 halves. I thought first half he was poor, to be honest. And like I've mentioned before, I think he should have took that yellow card to break the goal, to break their goal up. You know, he had the chance to bring the player down. And it's a clever yellow card, and it's probably what you need to do there. But he didn't do it. And I was kind of thinking I want Winchester on at half-time, probably for Power, but second half he improved and led us to the 3 points, really. Quickly won the midfield battle again in the second half. You know, that might have been down to Oxford being down to 10 men, but he looked more comfortable on the ball, as the whole team did, to be totally honest with you. And got a really nice goal, you know, really took the finish well, and gets an extra mark for being a complete shithouse in front of their bench. So, you know.
What a celebration.
Yeah.
He got a yellow for that, didn't he?
He gets a yellow card and an extra point from me for that, you know what I mean? So he's got a 7 for that one. Yeah, I love stuff like that, Rich, honestly.
Yeah.
Absolutely love stuff like that. So, and if any time, you know, someone does something like that, he'll go up in my estimations. Like, so, thought that was excellent.
Great. So I've got Josh Scowen. I thought he got bypassed in the first half, was a bit better in the second, where he was a little bit higher up the pitch. Still want to see him do more around the box. I don't know what it is. I've got this feeling that there's a player who can bang one in from a decent distance.
He needs a goal, definitely.
Yeah.
He needs a goal, yeah.
But, I mean, he didn't do much wrong, and I give him the standard 6. So, Mike, you've got another very mixed bag of a player in this game, Lyndon Gooch, who we've discussed at length already.
Yeah, I mean, I have written down first half an hour, very underwhelming. Couldn't get into the game. He just wasn't linking the play up between midfield and Charlie Wyke at all. And that left Wyke isolated, I think, for the whole of the first half. He just couldn't get into the game. Obviously, I think I have to mention it, 27 minutes in, he took a shot that didn't even go out for a throw, and I don't know what happened there. I was looking at this going, this is just not his day today. But in fairness, obviously, probably the goal helped him for the whole of the second half, probably gave him the confidence. Much better second half, much better crossing. He was taking the players on when he was in that full-back role. So much more to come from this guy. I just really want to see some consistency from him. But it was turned out to be a really kind of good day from him. I've actually given him a 7.5 for that second half performance, just because I think he was so prominent and integral to how we changed the game.
I think that's a really fair score. I think Matty's been very harsh on the website, giving him 5.5. I don't know if maybe that was his half-time score that he's left in there. Yeah.
Do you not think, though, long-term, that he's a better sort of right-back, right-wing-back? Because
yeah,
I think his best performances for us are in that position. You know, he's not a 10, you know, because he's
sort,
not...
Sort of when the game's in front of him, like, you know, when he can run into the space, it suits him much better than being in the 10
more,
where he kind of back to the play,
When he's the overlapping player, He looks really dangerous. He can get that extra yard in front of his man. He got some great balls in to the box, I think, in the latter stages. And I mean, obviously his pass to McGeady won us the game. McGeady is with you, Ant.
Again, Pua, I thought he was, to be honest, probably our worst player in the first half. I had him as a four in the first half. Thought he was, as we've just mentioned, he didn't give McFadden any help. When he got the ball, I didn't think he did much with it. So I was really, I thought if we were going to make a half-time sub, he'd be the one to come off. And I'm just glad that Lee Johnson has a bit more patience than what I've got, because again, second half, he was excellent. You know, lovely finish for the goal. You know, if you watch it back, I mean, he just guides it into the box like only Ian McGeady can do. On a sub note, he was actually watching my Sunderland play yesterday, because his kid plays for our development side. So he was there. He must have been watching one of our lads do exactly the same, because we scored a goal very similar. So, you know, I'm not taking any credit for it, man, Gage, and it was all you. You know, grew into the game as well as what I think was, like, you know, it's pretty much what all of Sunderland 11 did. You know, we grew into it, and by the end of it, he was looking very, very good, and another goal for him, which is great. So I've given him a 7.
Great. I think that's a fair enough mark. I've got Jordan Jones. Again, although he was at the centre of everything that went well, I'm getting people going 10 on the Skype here. There was a few poor deliveries in the first half, which is why he hasn't got a 10. But he was at the centre of absolutely everything that we did well. His driving runs, he did a driving run inside on 9 minutes, which I think terrified the life out of their defenders. And then he was drawing fouls. He was incredibly influential across the park. I thought he was brilliant. I think the fact that he got took off on 76 bodes well for the fact that he'll be playing next time. It didn't look like he was limping off injured. It looks like that was a planned substitution, a premeditated substitution. What can you say? I mean, that bit of skill, genius, just before half time has got us back into that match. I've given him a 9, and I'll stand by it, because I thought he was absolutely excellent. So we come to Charlie Wyke for you, Mike.
Yeah, and I was just kind of mentioning about Gooch there, how he kind of left White guys there because we just couldn't link the midfield and the attack. I don't particularly feel like it was his fault for his kind of struggles in the first half. I just think we just couldn't get him into the game, and probably credit to Oxford for that as well. Actually, you need to know there's a serious amount of good defensive clearances, which are nearly as important that he offers to us than his headers in the other box. There was a few of them in the first and second half, which were key. He got better as the game went on. Again, I think it was just the story of this team today. When Ross Stewart came on, it probably helped him a lot. There was a bit more link-up play between the two. And he put in a really good cross for Stewart, who nearly scored with his first touch. Probably not his best game. Kind of struggled a little bit in the first half, but it wasn't a bad performance. I have waked down for a 6 today.
So I think that's a little bit harsh, given the fact that he got that lovely assist at the end of the game,
because defense splitting pass for Max.
It was a and the defensive clearances, okay, which, like, as you say, Mike, went all the way. No, it's your mark. But yeah, I mean, I've got him down as a 7, and just a quick look at what Matty's got him down as well, which is a 7 as well. So maybe it's between a 6 and a 7. I'll quickly run through the subs. Ross Stewart came on 66 minutes. He had a chance immediately. He seemed to really unsettle the defence. I give him a 6. Maguire came on 10 minutes later. I thought he did really well on the right, combining with Gooch, but he gave the ball away cheaply. He always looks like he's going to give a foul away in a silly area. I'd give him a 6 on balance. And then Grant Leadbitter came on 86 minutes. Not really fair to give him a mark, but I thought he did steady the ship to a certain extent. So before we rate Lee Johnson, let's choose our man of the matches then. And who have you gone for man of the match?
Jordan Jones. That was absolutely superb. I'd have probably given him a 10 today. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. You know, and if we can keep him fit, I mean, like, he is terrorised. Every game he plays, he's terrorising the fullback. He's unbelievable, you know, such quick and directness. I mean, I've not seen a player like that for us for a long time, who's actually got pace, directness, and a quality ball and a quality finish on him. You know, he's literally got the full bag. He's got the whole shebang, really, and a player who I really would like to see us sign, but I think we'll struggle because there's going to be a lot of teams after him the way he's playing. I thought it was a perfect performance. It was absolutely superb and nearly scored one of the goals of the season with that strike before he came out at the bar.
All about it.
Yeah. Fantastic effort that. And I mean, I was screaming at him to put the ball out wide for Gooten and he whacked it back. I thought he was very, very good, and you know, credit to him and credit to Johnson for not sticking with him when, you know, we're chasing a goal to try and win the game, and he brought him off, which was, I thought, was excellent management by Lee Johnson, to be honest. But yeah, he got a full 10 for me. You know, I just love seeing exciting players, you know, and someone who can actually, you know, deliver a great ball, and he was fantastic today, you know. So yeah, Jordan Jones.
Any disagreement, Mike?
No, I echo everything Ant said there. I can't really add much more. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely fantastic today. Again, as Ant said, his directness just causes so many problems. If defenders are shitting themselves when they see him coming at them, like, he's just so good. No, Jones would be man of the match for me today. He was the key man for us. But I do want to give a mention to Gooch just for his second half performance. Mm-hmm. I think he was just as good than Jones was in the second half. Gooch was very prominent and integral for us getting into that game. So I think man of the match for Jones, but a special mention for Lyndon Gooch for that second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree. Really quickly, lads, Lee Johnson, I've given him... I gave him an 8 and then we got the third. And so I'm going to give him a 9 because, you know, we came back from a losing position and won the game 3-1. And I don't think you can argue with the manager and his motivation and his tactics and his changes when that's the result that you get from that position. Any other marks for Lee Johnson then?
I've gone exactly the same based on two massive things. He moves Gooch to right back and brings Stewart on, which ultimately we look more comfortable then, and we look as if we're going to score more goals. And for not giving Jordan Jones the 90 minutes and for being clever and bringing him off I don't know if it was 1-1 or 2-1, I can't quite remember. It might have been 2-1, we might have scored the second goal. But it's very easy to leave him on because he would have given you that outlet when we're counter-attacking. And that's risking an injury for a bloke who's just come back from injury. And I thought that was really, really clever management and shows what Grant Ledbetter said at Wembley. He actually cares about the welfare of the players. You know, where you could have easily just read, oh, fuck it, I'm keeping him on. You know, he looked at Monday and went, right, we need to bring him off. Superb management.
Yep. Your mark, Mike?
Yeah, 8 as well. As everything Ant said and yourself, excellent. Mm-hmm. Again, he made the right decisions. The only mark I have is just for isolating McFadzean in the first half. I think he could have maybe protected him a little bit better. But other than that, his decisions for in terms of bringing Gooch into the fullback. It was actually 1-1 when he took Jones off as well, which I think was the most impressive part because he was our most, our most threatening player, and he took him off, which I was like, what is he doing? Like, we need to win this game. But I mean, he obviously knows better than me. So another day, good day for Lee Johnson, 8 out of 10 as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, it was another fantastic victory for Sunderland on what is a really big weekend for the club overall. The ladies are back in action for the first time in a few months on Sunday at the Academy of Light against Sheffield FC, the original Sheffield FC, which is a really, really big game for them. Well, the oldest football club in the world.
Yeah, best of luck to the lasses on that one as well.
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, big luck to Mel Rea and Kia Ramshaw and the rest of the girls in the FA Cup. They're a couple of games away from a massive encounter with Man United, probably. Mm. So that'll be wonderful to see them get a result on Sunday. And then obviously the men have got that huge game on Sky on Monday night, and we'll be back after that. Thank you all for listening, and are we the lads?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.